This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. You and I are rocking our Team USA here, Ryder Cup. Love these from Bethpage Black just last year. Yeah, we didn't win the cup, but Cameron Young played pretty well. We'll talk about Cameron here in a second. Maybe a bet to be added after that conversation with Stephen Hennessy. Lou Fitacaro is going to join the program this hour. Breakdown UFC Fight Night up in Las Vegas. We'll talk about more here in just 1 second. And Alex Crook is going to join the program as we get ready for USA and Australia on the pitch later on this afternoon in Seattle, Washington. But getting back to that main event between Menel Kopp and Kyoji Horiguchi, Horiguchi is a legend in the game. He's a big underdog here against Menel Kopp, but maybe not as big as you might think. So this is the main event this weekend. Shout out to Rob Moreno. We had a lot of fun doing this week's edition of First Strike here on VSiN. Coming off the heels of Freedom 250, you cannot kind of exhale, but there still is money to be made, and I think you can look right to the main event.
Running through the model, it does land on Menel Kopp, but it hits that tier five that I talk about, kind of like a little bit of danger, like, hey, hold up. You know, those are only hitting at about 55% in my model. So Menel Kopp is kind of a concern. His odds aren't awful, like you said, down minus 150, minus 160 if you look around. But actually, I'm going to toss to you because the way I've been looking at this fight is the total. Total set at 4.5. The books are expecting this goes all five rounds, but these are two guys that are sneaky finishers. Under is plus money right now. I mean, what do you think? Do you think we can get an early finish, or does this go all five rounds?
I'm so glad you brought up the total, because that plus money here at 4.5, it did catch my eye. And I do think that if it goes the distance, that could be an advantage for Horiguchi. It could be on the dog side, because sometimes Menel Kopp can play with his food, shall we say, inside the octagon. If you've been watching Starboy, it can be frustrating at times. You're like, man, just go finish this dude. And then he normally does, right? At the end of the day, he normally does to get those guys out. But it looks like early on, sometimes he's too playful in there. And you get a little bit worried if you're backing the favorite, the big favorite. He's not a big favorite this time around. So I kind of lean towards the Starboy side, and that does get me to an under. And I worry, as much as I love to root for the old guys, as much as I love Horiguchi, and I really do, I admire the way he fights and his fighting passion. I just wonder that he might get sniped. I see visions of Sean O'Malley, Aljamain Sterling, and you go back there in the bantamweight where, you know, Aljo had to kind of dive into the legs and it was that big snipe from Sean that knocked him out. I see that kind of playing out, that if Horiguchi fights a stand-up fight with Menel Kopp, he's going to lose, I think. As good as well-rounded as he is, that's not where he wants to fight Menel Kopp. And therefore, does he get a little bit more desperate, shoot in on the legs, he can't get it, and all of a sudden, bam, a big punch coming down that might be able to get Horiguchi out of there. I would look to the under 4.5, and that might be a really slow start for these guys, or at least on the Kopp side, right? But eventually, I think he's too big. I think he's absolutely just too big for this weight class, too big for most of the guys in this division. I do like the Starboy side here. I like laying the small price point, and I might take a stab at that under. And dare I say, look for Kopp via KO if you want to get some plus money. I think it wouldn't be bad to have that in the account as well, Rob. That's where I'm going to be.
I was going to say, Horiguchi, while I mentioned his only loss in the UFC is Demetrius Johnson, he obviously took losses outside of the UFC, and two of those losses were knockouts, by the way.
There it is. So that's the way that Rob and I like it. Please listen and like, subscribe to First Strike here on VSiN. It's a fantastic podcast. We enjoy doing it every week. We've had Lou Finicaro on the program numerous times. He's one of the OGs of First Strike. Lou's going to be on the program here in just a little bit. So we'll get his thoughts, not only on this main event here against Horiguchi and Menel Kopp, but also some other fights that he has. And I think he's got some dog plays that could surprise some people out there. Some money to be made here on this week's card here at UFC Apex back in Las Vegas. We mentioned the conversation we just had with Stephen Hennessy in the last hour. A great conversation. Please like, subscribe, VSiN by the Books pod. Take a listen in your time. Some of the live numbers are eye-popping, and I think it got you to the window on a couple. And I talked about the cams that I liked. I'm hoping that Cameron Smith can at least get inside the cut line here from Australia when he goes out there today. Cameron Young sitting there at two over, and I know people are going to go two over. Is that really a number you want to look at? That's where Scottie Scheffler is. Scottie is 14-1 in the betting market here live. Cameron Young, same number, at 2 over, and yet he's 61-1. So it shows you that even though he's a player's champion, the way the betting market looks at this, and Jensen, look, I like the Scottie number 2, but I love that Cameron Young number. I think he's going to be around all weekend and somebody we're talking about come Sunday.
Yeah, so I did take some of Stephen Hennessy's advice here. So I played a couple of different ways. And by the way, Justin Thomas, 1 under now through 3 holes here, just parred the par 4 12th here. So he is tied for 20th, 6 back of Wyndham Clark. So I played at DraftKings, Justin Thomas, top 10 plus 220. Again, that does include ties. And then I did find a 50-1 on Justin Thomas to win live at Hard Rock. So I did pop that one for a quarter unit. Now on Cameron Young, top 10 at DraftKings, including ties, 3-1 for a quarter unit play. And I did get in 61-1 Cameron Young to win it. So we'll see where we stand once we get through another arduous and long day of golf. As we sit right now too, Dave, that cut line is on the move. It has moved to +3. So again, we're looking at my 4-leg make the cut parlay. I need Shane Lowry to start moving here. He is 1 over through 3, but we do have Colin Morikawa is 1 under through 4 right now. He's at +2. Justin Rose is also at even par, but +1 for the tournament through his first hole. Tommy Fleetwood, also the other leg of that 4-leg make the cut parlay. Of course, a great even round. Had opportunities yesterday, Dave. Had a lot of chances that he could have been in red figures, but we'll take it. And right now, Justin Thomas, as I said, is 1 under through 3. So still got some of the big dogs to go here. Some of them underway already, Dave. Matthew Fitzpatrick is even through 4 holes so far. Dustin Johnson has given a shot back. He is now 3 under through 4. Gary Woodland has given a shot back. You mentioned off the top, this course is going to change. We're seeing some teeth already from some of those bigger names towards the top.
Remember, this is top 60 in ties, and I'm sure Kelly Bidwin, they're coming up next year on the network with Gil Alexander, of course, in a numbers game. They'll break this down in earnest as this tournament changes right before our eyes. That's kind of a good sign if you're looking for the Cameron Youngs at 61-1 live. That's a good sign for the Scottie Scheffler's 14-1 live, that the guys are not necessarily running away with this thing and making it really arduous, whether it's Wyndham Clark. We'll see if Wyndham can do that. He's got a par 5 that's very reachable. He had a tap-in eagle on this par 5 when the conditions were laying down yesterday. He's getting ready to play that hole now. But Jensen, right now, I'm looking at some of those +4s that have not teed it up. Guys like Tyrrell Hatton that are out there, the grinders that might be able to figure out their way to get back inside this cut line. And again, when it's top 60 in ties, you do see at U.S. Opens in tournaments past where guys can come back from further back of the pack. So I wouldn't rule out anybody just yet that makes the cut. That is rule number one today, obviously. Figure out a way to get inside this cut line, and we'll see how this weather is going to impact the players come the weekend. Because again, the reports are, which were dead wrong yesterday, by the way, that late in the afternoon for the leaders on Saturday will be more difficult than the guys that are going to start off with earlier tee times on Saturday than what they should get in the afternoon. So food for thought, somebody might be able to go out there and post a number. Remember, the last time this tournament was here in 2018, Tommy Fleetwood on a Sunday had one of those earlier tee times, posted a 63, had a putt for 62. Had he made it, he would have gone into a playoff that year with Brooks Koepka. That's as far back as Tommy Fleetwood was able to come back on a Sunday. Not saying it's going to happen again this year, but it shows you how different the weather can play for the leaders versus the chasers once you get inside the cut line on the weekend. We've seen something now in back-to-back majors that I don't think we've ever seen, at least I haven't, and that is a 2-shot penalty assessed to a player at the PGA Championship. That was Gareth Higo, if you remember that calamity. When he was late for his tee time and his caddy, like, hey, you're 2-shot penalty. You're late for the first tee. What? And then remember, he didn't want to sign his card because he couldn't believe he was getting a 2-shot penalty. And then today, and we'll figure out what happened here, Joaquin Niemann has been assessed a 2-shot penalty for apparently throwing a club. So this is the breaking news. Stephen Hennessy talked about it, that this is all the talk right now. going on at Shinnecock Hills in the golf community because you just don't see these things. By the way, Joaquin Niemann has started off round two birdie. That's basically been negated by the two-shot penalty that he's been assessed. So, Jensen, I don't know. I'm not a golf lawyer. If there's any, you know, can you plead to a hired jury and a judge in this one? It sounds like this ruling has come down by the USGA. But two majors, Jensen, two-shot penalties that we normally don't see in major championships.
Yeah, kind of wild. And again, Rory McIlroy assessed no penalties after taking an extra swath of earth after a chip that didn't go his way yesterday. So I'm sure that'll be under review. If only we had VAR across the golf course here. Couple other names here that was one to look at. Brooks Koepka is going to be in that afternoon wave. He was +3 yesterday, and again was kind of a guy that I broke my no fly. I broke the hard deck. It wasn't a few more seconds below it. There was no danger, so I took it. I broke a major rule of engagement there. I got to tell you, his car, I mean, he had some opportunities too yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
But the fact that we're going to see this cut line, I think, evolve a little bit, Dave, I'm anxious to see once we get to 1 o'clock Eastern time where we see some of the carnage and how many guys are under par. Will it be below a dozen? And we're in for a heck of a second round finish here to make that cut.
One other name I just want to throw out there, Robert McIntyre. Bobby Mack, the Scotsman, he's one under par right now, 36-1 in the live betting market, Jensen. That's the type of guy that fits a profile like this, a guy that's obviously won a Scottish Open before, so playing a little bit more linksy like that this week. Okay, Lou Finocchiaro is going to join the program next. What about Starboy, Manel Kopp? Does he like him as well as a small favorite at the main event this weekend here at UFC Fight Night in Las Vegas? That's next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books, and again, we know that we've got all the contests up and ready to go. For Winner's Circle Proxy, if you've not gone out to Las Vegas yet and made the pilgrimage out there, they are waiting for you to do so right now because all the contests are open. I've already made mine. Jensen will be doing his as well, and we've got friends out there in the area that will be doing that as well. All you got to do, make that pilgrimage to Las Vegas. Sign up with Winner's Circle Proxy now. You can set your appointments right now at winnerscircleproxy.com. Whether it's Millions, Grandissimo, Survivor, they are waiting for you. Go out to Las Vegas and sign up today. We always look forward to our conversations with the great Lou Finocchiaro. You can give him a follow on X at GamBlue. He is the host of the Bout Business podcast and the Sneak Teep pod. Joins us each and every Friday. Does a great job here in the network on the Progressive Guest Line here today. But before we talk about Starboy in the main event here, Manel Kopp, which is an interesting one in his matchup, you've got a question for Jensen that maybe, are you wearing Carolina blue today here if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network?
I absolutely am. And as I assess, thanks, guys, for having me on and let me direct this in a tangent for just a second, because I want to pick Jensen's brain. Carolina was there 2 years ago. They have a very veteran staff, especially pitching staff. And when I assess this matchup, Oklahoma, without question, the hottest team the last month, 5 weeks of the season. But that staff is three freshmen. Three freshmen for Oklahoma against a veteran-laden staff for Carolina. Am I missing something as far? I don't want to say it's a mismatch, and I don't want to say the freshmen for Oklahoma are still freshmen, but they've never been to the College World Series before, and this moment might be pretty big. Am I on the right track, Jensen?
Well, listen, Kordreger, I, for people that don't know him yet, you are about to see one of the hottest hands going from the left side in college baseball there on Saturday. What a dandy we have. Jason DeCaro, a guy that I covered last year in the Chapel Hill Super Regional, is going to get the start here from North Carolina. I think the number is right, Lou. I had written up the Tar Heels with Aaron Moore before the playoffs and the regionals began at 15-1, and you highlighted exactly where I went. Scott Forbes has created a pitching factory there in Chapel Hill, and it is very deep. And DeCaro is great. He may not even be the best arm, and that's Caden Glauber, who we're probably going to see either in relief or going to get a start there on Saturday, or excuse me, on Sunday afternoon. I would still say, though, momentum in college sports, and Lou, we see this a lot in college football, right? These are still kids. They're still 18 to 21. Yeah, some of them might have some NIL compensation, but it's different when you see the emotion of the game switch. They're not professionals yet, but I think you're on the right track. I feel like it's Carolina's series to lose. I appreciate where Oklahoma has been really stout on the mound, but there are so many grinded out at bats that the Carolina offense has showcased thus far. I'm just thinking of what Owen Hall can do to them. Schaffner, obviously Gavin Gallagher. You got a veteran group that is probably going to wait out some of these freshman arms. They will pounce, and I think we'll take advantage of mistakes. So I think you're right. I hope you and I get it across the line, because I think this would be a fabulous end to what has been a remarkable North Carolina year.
Pretty good.
How great
question.
Is it
we
to
do
get
palms
that
pressing.
Perspective? Thank you.
You bet. It's fantastic. We do Palms Pressing 3 here with Mike Palm every week. That was Lou's Pressing 1. It's a hell of a question, Lou, if I may say so myself. I'll try to give a good one to you here as we look at the main event coming up tomorrow night there at UFC Apex. And Kyoji Horiguchi is kind of a legend, I'd say, in the sport. Left the UFC for a while, came back. Against a guy like Starboy and Manel Kopp here, a very intriguing main event. I know we're all coming off the highs of Freedom 250, and I know you and I had really good nights there. And now maybe people haven't paid enough attention to this main event, because it does have some title implications potentially here for the winner of this one Saturday night. What do you make of Starboy being about $1.50 betting favorite in a main event potentially five-round matchup?
Dave, Starboy the fighter is the largest, strongest, heaviest hitting, most athletic, fleet-footed flyweight in the organization. However, sometimes his mental preparedness can make a guy scratch his head wondering, where is this kid coming from? And that, I think, bogged him down a little earlier than more recently. Now he's challenging and trying to get a title fight. As well, he finds himself in a rematch where he was a young kid, green as a cucumber, fighting Horiguchi when Kopp was 23 and Horiguchi was 26 and really in his prime and a full-grown man. Now we flash forward and it's Horiguchi 35, still on a second wave in the UFC, still capable. And I think I take Horiguchi today or tomorrow against any flyweight on the roster except Kopp. The rematch for Kopp and his physical attributes and the fact that I think he's coming focused all lean me to take Kopp. I don't think I'm going to go inside the distance. I like the easy minus 155 I'm seeing right now, or minus 165. I think Kopp is the way I will go, just on a straight bet.
Excellent. I always love to ask you about some live underdogs, and they're not egregious in price here, but you've got two on the main card, Lou, that I think you have highlighted that have some great value. Your assessment of the two dogs you like here on that main side.
Yeah, Christian Rodriguez and Haider Amil. Amil has dealt with some injuries the last two fights. That could be excuses or not. But the guy's game, he's willing. He's really not apt on the ground. He's a striker, and that's where Christian Rodriguez will probably have advantage over him in his well-roundedness. But this is an unusual fight where Amil's going to be the larger man. He never gets to be that. I really like Haider Amil in this fight. I think he keeps it standing, and I think his striking is too much for Rodriguez. And then I'll go to Vinicius Oliveira and Andre Feely. Vinicius Oliveira is a simple bully, and at 135, the guy is athletic, strong, fast, powerful, but his strikes are not precise. They're not straight. He's wild, and he can be a crazy man. Now he's moving up to 145 to take on a guy in Feely that's a veteran at the division and used to fighting guys that weigh 162 pounds. And that's what featherweights weigh when they get in the cage after weighing in at 145. And so I think Feely, the veteran, is going to be a poor welcome fight for Vinicius Oliveira, because I think he stands up to him. And after a round and a half, the bully gonna, his anger and his pressure are going to wane. And I really like Feely in this as well. Feely and Emil, if you don't want to take him just on the money, you can take him on the points. Feely points is +3.5, +120. And Vinicius Oliveira is not finishing Feely. And so I think that is a great consideration as well if you wanted to go points with Feely and or Emil.
Yeah, Andre Touchy Feely is one of the tougher guys out there. He's fought everybody, the best of the best there. So I don't think he's going to blink in Oliveira's pressure that he's going to get in the first couple of rounds there. The longer the fight goes, the longer that dog is live. You know, a lot of eyeballs might be on this card because of what we saw at Freedom 250 and all the eyeballs that were there at the White House last Sunday night. If you haven't watched The Hulk, Ian Kutalaba, you know, we used to look at this guy as a wild man when he get in the octagon. Lou, he's been, I'd say, maybe getting a little bit older. I don't know if he's becoming more of a conventional fighter these days against Navajo Sterling. He's a massive underdog here in the co-main event. Has the Hulk become Bruce Banner? And is he not as wild as he used to be?
Dave, I see it exactly how you just described it. And I think what it is IQ, ring maturity, and the fact that rather than flipping burgers, he'd rather fight in the UFC. So he's forced to now fold in some wrestling and some IQ, and he can't just be a tornado going out there with no defense. He's going to have his hands full with Sterling here. Sterling's longer, taller, younger, striker. That said, Kutalaba can get inside and get this fight to the ground. He's got some decent grappling. Kutalaba is not out of this fight. He's a game-willing guy with a little bit of IQ and plenty of UFC experience.
Fantastic. Any other things on the preliminary side or any other thing creative you like when we get there tomorrow night, Lou?
Okay, so I have a parlay for us, and unfortunately it involves no UFC fighters. But I hear you guys doing this all the time, and I put one together, and I told Joe Frizzo I'd like to release it. So here we go. North Carolina wins the College World Series. We're taking them with Spain to win the World Cup. And then lastly, the Dodgers to win the National League. That's a 19-1 parlay. And I'm going to take a little taste of that.
Okay, so you got a 19-1 Jensen Lewis cross-sport parlay bomb. That, I mean, Jay Lou, your influence, it's taking over. I love it, Lou. I might even back it. As much as I don't like the Dodgers, I won't admit that in the court of law. We like money. 19-1 is a pretty good price point. Lou, you're the best. Check out the Bout Business podcast if you haven't already. Also, the Sneak Team. It's fantastic, and it's never been a better time to be a better in mixed martial arts. It's as good as it gets. We're going to give our best bets. They're coming up next right here at VSiN by the Books.
And by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. We know football is right around the corner, but the best bettors are already prepared for it. You can be one of said bettors. Monday, we're going to release our NFL betting guide. It is packed with everything you need to attack futures, win totals, divisional races, the upcoming season. Lock in that early bird pricing on our football special for just $175. Be among the first to get that guide when it comes out on Monday. The sooner you sign up, the more value you will get. Full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl, which is next February. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and so much more. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Great conversation with Lou Finicaro in the last segment. Please like and subscribe to the VSiN by the Books pod. Take a listen on your time. Alex Crook will be on the program next. Lou gave out a 19-1 Jensen Lewis special cross-sport parlay. Again, I want to get this out there. It was North Carolina to win the World Series, España to win the World Cup, and then the Dodgers to win the pennant. It wasn't the World Series, if I remember correctly, right, Jensen? It was to win the National League pennant at 19-1. I told Larry Muir, our director here, I will never admit this in a court of law if I do end up tailing that parlay that Lou gave out, because I can't root for the Dodgers after what they did to my Mets a couple years ago. Do you like that play? Because at 19-1, it feels rather juicy.
Well, yeah, and again, this is the beauty of kind of spreading it out, is you don't have to make a quick decision on, let's say North Carolina does what they're capable of doing over the weekend, you get that leg home. Spain, we'll see where they end up in, you know, the knockout round. I would assume that they find their way through, and just kind of looking at what their, there's a way to monetize it through there too, if you feel that, you know, France or another contender are going to be equal to the task. And then, you know, the Dodgers are going to win the West. It's just a matter of schedule wise and standings wise, as we sit here right now, they have finally surpassed the Braves for the top spot in the National League. They're a game ahead of them entering play tonight. So you get that bye into the divisional round. You can monetize it twice if you want, or you can play, you know, off against the Dodgers opponent in the divisional round. You can find a way once they're through to decide how much money you'd want to win of that 19-1 into the National League Championship Series. So I think it's a great job by Lou. It's something we've done here, and we've made a lot of money on these cross sport parlays. So just food for thought. And Dave, it's always fun exercise to do. If the Major League playoffs started today, Dodgers and Braves would be your 1 and 2 seeds, respectively, in the National League. Milwaukee would be your 3 seed by virtue of being the National League Central champions. The St. Louis Cardinals would be your 4 seed as the highest or best wild card record. They would host, or they would host the Philadelphia Phillies, who would be the number 5 seed, and then the San Diego Padres. I believe they're 1/1000th ahead of the Washington Nationals and Chicago Cubs. They would be your 6th seed. They'd travel to Milwaukee. So your wild card round would be Brewers, Padres, Cardinals, and Phillies in the American League. And I told you before, if the playoffs were to start today, we would have a wild card team that would be below 500. Now, again, you kind of forecast out and see where it could be. That is about a 7-10% chance of happening as we sit here today. But the Yankees would be the 1 seed. The White Sox, by 1/1000th of a point, crazy, would be your 2 seed as division champion over the Cleveland Guardians. Your American League West champions would be the Seattle Mariners. They'd be the 3 seed. Tampa, the Rays would be your 4 seed. Cleveland would be your 5. And then the Toronto Blue Jays, by the tiebreaker, I think, over the Athletics, would be your 6 seed. Okay. So you would have Seattle headed, you would have Toronto headed back to Seattle, rematch of the ALCS from last year. And then you would have Cleveland headed to Tampa Bay to take on the Rays. That would be your wild card so far. A lot of games to be played, but a wild, wild race we have in the wild card race in both leagues.
It's going to be absolutely chaotic. But again, the Dodgers, there's a lot of zeros in front of their divisional odds here. I'm seeing that as 10,000-1. Are you kidding me? So that means that they're going to get a bye. And oh my goodness, just look at that on your screen on FanDuel Sports Network. That's absolutely insane. Or if you're watching on YouTube TV, and we appreciate you doing so this morning. Let's get to some of those best bets. We're going to have Alex Crook on in the next segment talking all things World Cup. You do have a play for Team USA today. And I thought your handicap was pretty ingenious in that if it gets tight late, a draw is not the worst result for Team USA. Of course, we want them to beat Australia in Seattle, the first game of the pitch of 4 matches today in the World Cup. But Jensen, you could see a world where it might be a little bit more conservatively played.
I do. And so here's part of it. The fact that DraftKings is offering insurance on the U.S. money line wager today. So should the U.S. not win or draw, you will get that wager back as a bonus bet. So it's a free roll for me. That led me to also playing the draw. I not only get the bonus bet, but I get paid out on the draw too. And I got a profit boost on Hard Rock, getting that from +350 to plus 420. So I played a half unit on the United States and Australia to draw. And then with it being a situation where I don't think there's going to be a lot of chances that either side takes to put them into a disadvantage on the counter, I took the under 2.5 at plus 104 on Novig. So a couple of different ways we could be a profitable spot here. Number one, United States can win 1-0, 2-0. We get the under, we get the money line. If both teams score 1-1, we still get the under and we get the draw and we get the bonus bet. So that's kind of where I'm at right now, and very anxious to see what the handicap is from Alex Crook upcoming in our next segment too.
Also, we've got some golf plays that we've added right now, just to give you an update of what's going on. And again, we're going to keep you covered here as a network throughout the day here. The second round of our national championship well underway here. Wyndham Clark is still your leader. Now, he's even par through five, and why that's kind of important is the quote-unquote easiest hole in the golf course right now is the par five fifth, which he had a tap-in eagle late in the afternoon yesterday. He parred it today. So maybe the conditions changing ever so slightly out there, a little bit tougher. So Wyndham is not running away. He still is the favorite now to win his second U.S. Open. Of course, he won at LACC a couple years ago, his first U.S. Open title. He's plus 320. And then the odds jump go to 6-1 live on Jon Rahm, plus 670 for Matthew Fitzpatrick. And then Scottie Scheffler, you still get him about plus 1375 out there, 14-1. You took a shot after our conversation with Stephen Hennessy on Cameron Young, who has not teed off yet. He's 2 over par. Jensen, I think that number's going to look better and better if the guys out now don't run away. And I think that got you to the window on Cameron Young.
So, yeah, we've got three different guys we jumped in live on. Let's start with Cam Young. Top 10 finish at 3-1, including ties for a quarter unit there on DraftKings. Also jumped on him at 61-1 to win the tournament. We went with Justin Thomas, who Stephen Hennessy also illuminated, looked very sharp to begin his round. That has been maintained. He's 1 under through five. Mm. He's even for the tournament. So jumped on him at a top 10 at plus 220, also at 50-1 live at Hard Rock. Robert McIntyre, also the lefty that we know has had a good grinded out spot here. He is currently even for the round through four. Birdied his first hole on 10, bogeyed the par four 12th, but he is even for the tournament. So that's tied for 19th as we kind of sit here today. This morning. So again, I jumped on him at plus 270 for a top 10 finish, including ties, and also 50-1 live on DraftKings. So three different golfers we added in the top 10 and outright markets. Let's see what teeth this course has. Dave, the rabbit right now, my man Colin Morikawa, he is the low man of the second round. Ooh. He has three birdies in his first six holes. He's 3 under to get him even for the tournament. He has looked very sharp. We would say Joaquin Neiman is sharp too, but he has been assessed that 2-stroke penalty for the club toss. He's 2 under. He's actually hit three birdies in his first four holes. So we would have been live. We would have been live. But hey, let's see what happened. The cut line is the most important thing right now. We are at +3. But I think you envision that kind of moving maybe to +4, +5 before the second round is finished.
I do. And the point is, like, say you're ticking on Robert McIntyre. If you get in the house at even par, sit back, you know, put up your feet and watch the carnage, you would hope, in the afternoon. That's what we expected yesterday. It didn't happen. I like some of those tickets and positions you have because of the jurisdiction here, Jensen. I can't get those bets in live right now. I got to cross back over to my home state of Tennessee. When I do, I'll be joining you in a couple of those plays. I'm definitely looking at Scottie Scheffler. I love the Cameron Young at 60-1. If you can still get that people before he tees off today, it's going to be tougher, we do believe. But if you can get to the house around even par, you are very live to potentially win this thing on the weekend here at our national championship. What about our soccer team? What about Team USA? Can they beat not only Australia today, but make a deep run in this World Cup? Alex Crook is going to join the program next. We'll break it all down right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back. VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here on a Friday. Second round of the United States Open well underway. Jensen, you know, we always kind of lamented in golf betting, like Scottie Scheffler, boy, it's just unfair to have him in. Was Scotty kind of down? Do you like this, that it feels like the door is open for other bets to be made and other players to walk across if Scotty is not peak Scotty?
Yeah, going to be fascinating, right? Because just kind of seeing where this this morning has started for some of these players. By the way, we were just talking in the break. Another spot to add would be Brian Harman, the lefty. So get two lefties in tow in the live market here, Dave. Just pop Brian Harman for a top 10 finish at plus 440.
Oh, I like it.
Also at 98-1 in the outright market on DraftKings. So again, just kind of going around the evolution of where this golf course is. You had talked about just kind of where Brian Harman tied for eighth currently at one under. His tee time is 224 this afternoon. And again, just five behind Wyndham Clark, who is even through five to start his second round. Again, the rabbit right now, and Morikawa just actually bogeyed the par three seventh, but he is two under. There is about five guys that are two under, and one of those, Joaquin Niemann. But unfortunately, a two-stroke penalty basically makes him even the day.
That one's going to be one that's going to sting the nostrils for a while. And when Brian Harman won the Open Championship, nobody thought he was going to do that, and he ran away with it. I like your plays there that you just added. Alex Crook, kind enough to join the program now. TalkSport chief football correspondent. Give him a follow on X at Alex_Crook. It's been great to have you a part of the network here, Alex, for the World Cup. Jensen and I think all of America, pretty excited to see what they can do later on today in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle against Australia. Where are you on Team USA after, I think, maybe an eye-opening first-round win against Paraguay? Can we believe that not only they can win today, but maybe keep this run going here in the World Cup?
Well, I'm quite excited to watch as well, because I think alongside England's 4-2 win over Croatia, the US performance against Paraguay, one of the standout displays of any team so far this World Cup. And I've said it before with you guys, I think whenever there is a major international tournament, it helps the tournament if the hosts do well. Obviously, Mexico secured top spot in their group overnight. Canada, superb yesterday as well. They're both going through to the knockout rounds. You would expect the US to join them. And the better those teams perform, the more the locals get into it, the more the momentum builds. So really excited to go out and watch that at a local sports bar. And I think you guys can get a bit carried away. I thought it was a brilliant performance. The two fullbacks, Robinson and Dest, really impressed me. I guess the one issue is, how fit is Christian Pulisic, having been forced off at halftime, because he was key to that victory as well.
Yeah, I'm interested, Alex, too, if this is a bit cagey, as our friends across the pond would say. We know that both teams with at least a point are going to put themselves on the precipice of getting into the knockout stage. So I'm anxious to see kind of where, if this is level at halftime, if there is some tactical adjustment, knowing both these squads are trying to punch their ticket forward. Also, we think of World Cup pedigree. It goes without saying, Brazil is one of those teams that obviously we look at to not only qualify, but to get deep into the knockout round. May we say that this was one of the shockers of the opening round of group play with what their result was? And do they get kind of a sense of urgency against Haiti here later on tonight?
Well, it wasn't a shock to me because I didn't fancy Brazil before the tournament. I'm going to sound really cruel here, but I just didn't see a team with the Brentford striker leading the line up front, Igor Thiago, as one who could be taken seriously in terms of potential world champions. And actually, it's a long time since Brazil won the World Cup. They've disappointed major tournaments of late. I'm expecting changes. I don't think Thiago will start this game. I think Matheus Cunha probably will be used as that false number nine. But I'd love to get a penny for the thoughts of João Pedro, who was left out of the squad altogether. He must be watching this game on a beach somewhere on his holidays, wondering how he's not managed to get a place in this team. And they won't be a rollover, Haiti. Again, when the fixtures came out, when the draw was made at the back end of last year, you thought, well, Brazil, Haiti, that's going to be an annihilation. I saw enough from Haiti in that game against Scotland that Brazil are going to have to be on their mettle. And there's pressure now. I mean, drop points in the opening game. They need to top the group. They've got to win this. They've got to win it well.
Well, Alex, to that end, with Scotland getting that 1-0 win against Haiti in their first matchup, now they're going to take on Morocco here later on today. What about the Scots? Can they make this 2-0 here and get out of this group unscathed?
Well, my big takeaway after that 1-0 win against Haiti, Scotland's first World Cup victory in 36 years, is that they still won't get out of the group. And I've not delved into the mathematics of it in the last few days, but the reason I say that, they've only beaten Haiti 1-0. I think they'll lose to Morocco and they'll lose to Brazil. So therefore, they're going to be on a negative goal difference. I don't know if 3 points with that negative goal difference will be enough to get out of the group. And certainly, I'm very strong on Morocco. They're slightly less than even money to win this game. That could be the bet of the tournament for me.
Yeah, Alex, let me follow up on that, because it feels like getting numbers forward with the pedigree that Morocco has, this could be maybe an actionable spot on the over here. Do you think we can get to 3? It might take Morocco doing it themselves, but it feels like both sides can concede, knowing the aggressive style. Would that be a place you would attack?
Yeah, and actually, I'm looking at Ashraf Hakimi as well, who is no stranger to finding the back of the net. I think he's a double-figure price to score the first goal. He's about 3-1 to score at any time. He's certainly in my thinking for this game. I'm keen to see what Scotland do in terms of a setup, because in both the warm-up games for this World Cup, he went with two up front, Steve Clarke, which is not usually his way. He's usually a lot more pragmatic than that. Does he revert to a more defensive approach now? They're coming up against better opposition. Wouldn't surprise me if we saw a back three from Scotland.
All right. Well, my Scottish blood, we got a little bit in there. I'm a mutt. So that blood's starting to boil a little bit here, Alex, as we look at their prognostication to possibly not even get out of the group. How about Turkey IE against Paraguay? We know that Paraguay may be licking their chops after what happened to them against the United States a week ago. Can they give a better showing today against Turkey IE?
Well, they'd struggle to get much worse. I think they were really poor in that game against the USA, as good as your boys played. But I was disappointed with Turkey as well. They were one of my dark horses coming into this tournament, and they were really disappointing against Australia. So again, much like we've been saying about Brazil, pressure on both these teams to get a win on the board. If they don't, they could be looking at an early flight home.
Alex, as we look through the weekend, and I know there are going to be some groups here that have some implications. Let me start with the headliner tomorrow. We get Sweden and Netherlands from Houston at 1:00. This feels like one of those spots when you look at group play. We talk about positioning and looking at what Sweden with that win will do. Will Netherlands be desperate, knowing that a need at least to win? Yes, you have the draw, but could we look at maybe an opportunity here to back Netherlands, or do you see this just kind of being a back and forth affair?
I think I'd be reluctant to back the Netherlands on the basis of what we saw in their first game. He's got a lot of stick back in the Netherlands, Ronald Koeman, for his in-game substitutions. I thought Japan dominated for large parts that second half, and actually were probably unlucky not to take all 3 points. And I was really impressed with Sweden against Tunisia, and in particular the link-up between Alexander Isak, who looked sharper in that game than he has probably all season for Liverpool, and Viktor Gyökeres. So there are goals in this Swedish side. And you look at the Dutch team, defensively, that should be their strongest weapon, but it didn't look like it against Japan. So, no, I certainly wouldn't be backing the Netherlands in this game. I think probably a high-scoring draw is the way I play it. Maybe another 2-2.
Got about a minute to go here with Alex Crook, a TalkSport chief football correspondent, and doing a great job breaking this down this World Cup for us here at VSiN all throughout the tournament. Alex, there are 4 teams right now that are single digits to win this: France, Spain, England, and Argentina. And then everybody else is double digits and beyond. If you're looking for a play now at this stage of the World Cup to get in, is there a longer shot that you think is playable, or would you look to those 4 short shots?
I think the winner probably will come out of that list that you've just given me. I'm not sold on Spain. I thought they were poor in their first game. I think the fitness doubts about Lamine Yamal and Nico Williams and Rodri, who's had an injury-affected couple of years at Manchester City, is going to haunt them. Before the tournament, I went for France, Portugal as my 2 finalists, but Portugal have a problem. He's called Cristiano Ronaldo, and Roberto Martinez doesn't seem to want to take him out of the team. So I'm now on board with the idea of a France-England final with Argentina making the semis, and maybe one of those dark horses, maybe a Japan or maybe the USA. Who knows?
Wow, Le Bleu.
40 to 1.
All right. The three Lions and Le Bleu. Let's see it.
I think everybody would like to see that outside of the United States. That'd be an amazing matchup. Alex, appreciate the time, man. Great information. And again, everybody give him a follow on X at Alex_Crook. If you want more VSiN, and of course you do, you've been watching on FanDuel Sports Network, YouTube TV, you can get access by going to VSiN.com and the VSiN Watch app. We have got Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. They are up next.